So today we're talking about encouragement, the E and the fixer, upper, last E. I guess my question is, do you know somebody that's really good at this, encouragement? In college, there was this guy, his name was Papo, or Bapo, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. They pronounce P's like B's there. And Papo would, he was like, he's from the Dominican, and he was studying to be a preacher, and he was amazing. The biggest encourager I've ever met in my entire life. He's just good at it. And it wasn't like there's flattery and there's encouragement. You know what I mean? Like the flattery is different. This was encouragement. And he was so good at it. And in fact, we would joke about how Papo could like basically come in and stab you with a knife, but he would be so positive and encouraging about the whole thing that would be like, oh, thank you, Papo. Here, you want to get this? Let me give you your knife back. You know, that type of thing. Like, he was just so good at it. He was so positive, so amazing. I want to be like that. I'm not enough. I know for some of you, this is a tough topic because you never knew encouragement. You were not raised that way. You and your relationships, in your relationship with your wife, your kids, you've picked up right where that has left off. You don't know what this encouragement looks like. Let me echo words from a sermon from a few weeks ago. Change can start with you, right now. As a parent, as a grandparent, even as a kid, you can break the cycle. Be an encourager. Looking around, I see that for some of you, this is not too hard. You already are an encourager. Your house is one where we see encouragement happening amongst your spouses, your kids, and your grandkids. I think of Joe and Jan Benjamin. I think of George and Donna Simmons. And I think of so many more of all of you have been so encouraging to me and my family since we've been here. And it's just, it's amazing. And I want to be more like you guys. I want to be more like you. To be an encouragement to my family. I want to be an encouragement to my wife. I want to be an encouragement to my neighbors. For all of you that this describes, we need you. We need you to encourage us. We need you to model encouragement so that we can do a better job of it in our own lives. The definition of encouragement, well, it's not agreeing with everything people say and do, right? That is not encouragement. We want to look at encouragement as speaking the truth in love. This is not always saying nice things about each other, right? Sometimes we encourage by calling each other to do better next time, to think things through better next time. To praise someone for their faith, for their example, for their purity. But I want you to understand here that it is a biblical command. It is a biblical command to encourage one another. 5 times in the 5 chapters of 1 Thessalonians, encouragement is used. And it's not always kudos for a good job. You will see that in chapter 4 that this church struggled with lots of things. The church of Thessalonica. They had sexual immorality. They struggled with laziness. They struggled with doing things not the right way for gaining for themselves. Like this wasn't some perfect church, Thessalonica. It's not like this is the church of, you know, that we are to emulate always. But Paul gives some kudos to them for being a church that is encouraging to other people, that is encouraging to each other. Paul's encouraging the church in Thessalonica to encourage each other, as they were already doing, to love and serve Jesus Christ, and along the way, to build one another up. So, there's two biblical words for encouragement in 1 Thessalonians. Two of them. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 through 12. It says, "And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own child. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory." There's two examples of the word encouraged there in that verse, in those two verses. And there's one of each. And these two Greek words, if you want to know what the Greek words are. If you don't, you can tune this out. But here they are. They're paramathua, which is to counsel from alongside of. And there's parakaleo, which is to call from alongside of. So what do both of those things have in common? Come alongside of, right? So here's what encouragement is. Both mean that you get involved. You're coming close to someone's struggle. You're going through life with someone's story. It's not distant. It's not shouting from the sideline. It's close. You can see why we can't merely instruct from afar, right? I mean, we can, but that is rarely ever taken well, right? We sit there and we shout from afar at things that people are doing right or wrong. We maybe get in arguments on social media or whatever. How do those go for you? How do those go for us? If we want to be encouragers, meaning if we want to encourage people to do what is right in both instruction and correction, we want to encourage them from what? From living a life alongside of them. Does that make sense? We encourage when we get it right. Encouragement is close-quartered. It is messy. It is life together. And when we don't, we encourage people to do it right the next time. So this sermon today is going to be really simple. And we're going to answer two questions. One, what's the Bible mean by encouragement? And two, how do we encourage? So what's the Bible mean by encouragement? How do we do it? First, I believe that the Bible teaches us to build up, not puff up. You know the difference, right? There was a guy at one of my old churches that I served at, that every time there was a guest preacher, he would go up to that person and say the same thing. Basically, something to the effect of, "Wow, we should replace the permanent guy with you. You're doing so, you know." But it was the same thing over. And like, so every time I would guest preach, this guy would come up and say the exact same thing to me, which lets me know that probably didn't really mean it. Right? Because not every sermon I preached, as you guys will be able to attest to, not every sermon that I preached was a home run. There were some that were messy or convoluted, and I didn't even understand them myself when I got down. But you know, those people in your life, they're just like so overly, just flat, so much flattery. You know the difference. Encouragement is not flattery. Flattery is excessive and insincere praise. Encouragement is totally different. It is not handing out insincere compliments like passing out mini Snicker bars to trick-or-treaters. Growing up in a church for the last 40 years, I have seen people desire to serve in areas they are not gifted in. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe. Some of you may be saying, like, yeah, like you preaching every week? Hopefully that's not the case, but I think that any of you that have been around for a while know that where I'm coming from. I had a friend at the last church I worked at that would ask to preach. Nothing wrong with that. But there was a reason why he asked and never was asked. Does that make sense? You think I preach a long time? He would get up there and preach for an hour. But there was no real structure. It was just tangent after tangent after tangent. It's just like, are you going to land this thing? Is this thing ever going to... Like, and last night, you just kind of like walk off the stage like, all right. And we would let him do that because we love this guy and he was a crucial part of what we were doing. But it's like the same as me wanting to lead worship all of a sudden. I am passionate about praising Jesus. But I'm not so sure that I would have the best results if I got up and started leading you guys. Because I'm a preacher. I'm not a singer. Our relationship with Jesus gives us a very special relationship with God. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you already are doing. Now, if you haven't figured out, we are going to jump around the book of 1 Thessalonians a lot because it's five chapters and it's all about this encouragement idea. But our relationship with Jesus gives us a very special relationship, not only with God, but with each other, with the church. If you look at elsewhere in Paul's writings, Ephesians 4, 15 through 16 says, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So who is the body? Us, right? Who is the head? Jesus. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does with its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Every believer is a member of the body of Christ. Members of the body encourage each other to find their purpose. Have you ever thought about what you do or don't do affects those that are sitting right next to you right now? That is this talk. Members of the body, while both are working about and going about the master's business, come alongside each other and encourage each other to keep it up or to refocus our effort on the task at hand or elsewhere. Really, our friend the teacher should have been encouraged to do something else. He should have. He wasn't a preacher. He just wasn't. Our friend in the church, he should have been asked to do something else. There are people that want so badly to sing, and they should sing their hearts out. But maybe singing on stage isn't the best place for them. That's not here. Everybody on stage here is amazing. But not everybody in the world is meant to be a singer. They should be encouraged to do something else. If preaching is not my thing, then I shouldn't be preaching every week. If singing is not my thing, I shouldn't be leading worship. There are so many other places in the body to serve. We need to find our area of giftedness and serve there. It doesn't mean we can't try new things, that we cannot improve at different areas, but we are all given talents. Some of us have the gift of hospitality. Goodness. Do you know how important that gift is? You shouldn't belittle that because you want some other gift. Like, that is an amazing gift to have. I want to start a small group or two pretty soon. Since Elijah is going to be on house arrest for quite a while, we will need a place to host. And guess what? If we were all preachers or singers, then nothing would ever get done. Nothing would ever get hosted. Part of encouragement is to help each other to find their purpose, to identify what God has identified them with, and then to fan that into flame into their lives. So the obvious question from all that is, what are you doing to make that happen? Are you a hand that is encouraging another hand to keep going? Are you an eye pointing out where our body is developing some atrophy in a bicep? How are you doing at that? Are you being loving? Are you helping more than you're hurting? This is so important. The body of Christ needs to be committed to building up each other. Stop sitting around and waiting to be built up. Start building somebody else up. This idea of building each other up, of building ourselves up, is known as edification. The result of evangelism is a spiritual birth. The result of edification is spiritual maturity. We want to build others up, to come alongside and encourage them as people to come alongside and encourage us. What ends up happening is that we all end up growing. If one person is coming alongside and encouraging another person, and then this person over here is coming alongside me and encouraging me, and then that person is being encouraged by somebody else, it's like a big circle. And what happens is the body continues to grow and to flourish, and we all strengthen our faith because of each other, because of the words that people say to you and speak into your life. Those encouraging words. You can do it. I believe in you. You can do all things in Christ. You can get through this trial because of Christ that strengthens you. You can do it. And applause. Way to go. That was amazing what you did. It sounds like family, right? Or what we would like our families to be like. And isn't that what we are anyway, as a family? The result of edification is spiritual maturity. Might this world be a better place if we all did this? What if we got serious about being the solution? Nobody asked my opinion again today. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then how about you go ask somebody else's opinion? Let them talk. Get what they think about something. No one called on me. Well, I'm going to call on somebody. No one talked to me. Well, I'm going to make sure I talk to someone. No one asked me to help. Surely that's not a problem around here, right? While I am going to volunteer anyway, in any way that I can, in any way that I'm asked, I'm just going to show up. People, the church is not about us. It's not about me. Church is about all of us honoring Jesus. It is not about what I want or what I like. It's not about the way I think we should do this or that. It is about all of us pulling the same way so that we might bring as many as we can with us on our way back to God. That's our job. That's our goal. That's our mission. That is why we encourage. We want to bring as many people as we can with us on our way back to God. The God of encouragement wants us to be vessels of encouragement to each other so that we might spur someone to action, that we might keep going, we might keep believing, that we might keep standing or even crawling, that we might come alongside and help drag themselves forward. So the second question is how do we encourage? I love this quote from the book, Encouragement. Encouragement came into the English language through Old French. It means to put courage into someone. And courage came from the Latin word for heart. It means more than to make someone feel better about themselves and their situation, and includes the idea of inspiring someone to action. David Packer wrote that. Paul inspires the church to action. Built on one great truth is that Christ died and he rose again. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out His anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when He returns, we can live with Him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. God has not destined us for wrath, but to be with Him forever through Jesus. That is the source. That is the purpose. That is the key to encouragement. Our source of encouragement is Jesus. And once we realize that source, then we can turn around and we can encourage others. So how do we encourage? The first thing is that we recognize God's work in somebody's life. 1 Thessalonians 3:2-3 says, "And we sent Timothy to you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you and to encourage you in your faith and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you are going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles." Paul is recognizing God's work in their lives. He's realizing that God is doing something among the church in Thessalonica. And He is encouraging them. He is coming alongside them. In fact, He wants to come alongside them so much, He sent Timothy to them. 1 Thessalonians 1:4-7, it says, We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be His own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought to you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. And as a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece, throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. My question is, when was the last time you walked up to somebody and said, "I can see God working in this area of your life. Good job"? Have you ever said that to somebody? I have a feeling that if you've been around church for a while, that there was probably at some point, you can remember a time when somebody said something like that to you, right? And it was probably really, really meaningful, right? Maybe it was an older person in the church that said something like, "I see God working in you. I see God working in your life." And maybe it was that little blip, that little recognition, that little something flamed up inside of you and made you go, "Yeah, you're right. God is working inside of me. I want to be more this way." I know that when I was young in ministry, really when I was in high school, our youth minister was great, and he kept encouraging us to actually minister to other fellow students. And I remember he was such an encouragement. He would say, like, "Well, how's that going? Have you making any ground? Are you making any progress with this person or that person about sharing the Jesus with them and helping with their struggles and their problems?" And I would be like, "Yeah, or no, I wasn't really bold this week." You guys know what that's like. But I remember his encouragement caused me to think, you know what, I can be like this. I can do this more. And what that happened to that was that fanned this flame in my heart that wanted me to see people come to a saving relationship with Jesus. And that's what I do for a living now. If it wasn't for that encouragement, I don't know where I would be. And I hope and I pray that there are people in your life, if you've been around here for very long, that you can say, "Yes, there was a time when Tim," or I didn't mean this Tim, I just mean a random person. "This was a time when they spoke into my life and it encouraged me so much that it spurred me to go on and to go deeper." I hope you've had those experiences. And if not, I hope that you might provide those experiences for our young ones, for our young parents, for our, it doesn't have to be young, for our people. When was the last time you walked up to someone and said, I can see God working in this area of your life? When was the last time you said that to your kids? When was the last time you said that to your spouse? When was the last time you said that to your friends? We have to recognize God's work in somebody's life. Another thing is that we have to hold each other accountable to God's word. Now, this is not a license to go Pharisee on each other, right? This isn't a license to pick up rocks and throw them, right? But part of encouraging is to call them to do something different. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and in his glory. So no. You are not supposed to take a baseball bat to somebody's head and convict them of their sin. Because most of the time, what happens is you point out that speck in your neighbor's eye and there's a huge log in yours, right? But we do, in love, want to hold each other accountable, to spur each other on toward right behavior, for right actions, so that we all might be strengthened. And quickly, the last one is to point out someone's faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 3:7, so we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. Now this is different. This is different than recognizing God's work in someone's life. This is different. This is somewhat to encourage somebody that is holding on tightly to keep holding on. Right? Let's be quick to point out the positive. The world is full of enough of people, they're going to tell you the negative. Let's be encouragers of people to say, you know what? I know life is really hard right now. I know you're struggling with this. There's deaths, there's sicknesses, there's illnesses. I know that this is a lot. But I see you. I see you gripping tightly to your faith in Jesus. I see that, and I'm encouraged by that. I am made stronger by your example. What if we did that for each other? You think things would be different? You think we'd be better? That we might actually grow in our faith? I do. I want to be like that. I don't know. That's really what I got today. It's just, I want you to just leave with this. It's just that encouragement is something that we have to do. We are encouraged to do. And if we can be an encouraging church, if we can be known as a church that encourages each other, that spurs each other on, that is positive about the good things, but yet is not afraid to tackle the hard things. If we can be an encouragement to people to grow up in Jesus and to come find Jesus, whatever the cost. If we can be that type of encouraging church, we won't be able to keep people away. If we are known for our love, if we are known for our words of encouragement, if we are known for the way that we build each other up, not puff each other up, we might change this world. We might change this county. We might change this town. Our invitation to you today is to come. To come to be encouraged and to find Jesus, who is the source of all encouragement. If that's a decision you want to make today, we invite you to come as our praise band sings.